Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
And if you're here with us for the first time, or maybe you're new to the church, you've been visiting for the last few weeks, we want to welcome you this morning. We want to thank you for being out with us as a church on behalf of our pastors. Amen. And the church here, we want to welcome you. Amen. I want to wish my wife a happy Valentine's Day. Amen. My Valentine. Jesus is her Valentine. Amen. But I'm not a close second. I was going to say a close second. I'm not even close. Amen. But I'm far ahead of everyone else. So that'll do me. That'll do me. Amen. And I want to wish all of you a happy Valentine's, because how many know Jesus is the lover of our soul? Amen. And I believe this morning that God has something so special to say to our lives. I want to thank our pastors for giving me the opportunity this morning to minister into the church. Amen. To be part of such a fantastic church. You'll hear it said, we're not the greatest church in the world, but we're a great church. Amen. And God is doing something great right here in our midst. And if there's one thing I believe we can say about Victory Outreach Manchester, is no matter where you're from, no matter what your background looked like, no matter what you're going through, this is a place that you can come and meet with God and see your life changed. How many people can say that you've seen your life changed? Amen. But how many know He changes us from glory to glory? So He's not finished doing what He's doing. Amen. He's just beginning in our lives. And in Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, amen. Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, we're going to continue to speak about the promise that God has given us this year, that He is bringing us into a spacious place. Amen. That maybe you felt trapped, maybe you felt limited. Well, we have been given a promise by God that we are coming into a place where we are not going to be limited. We are not going to be restrained, but God has got something great for our lives. Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, the Bible says this, and Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Read that one more time. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you this morning for your Spirit. Lord, that He is our counselor. He is our comforter. Lord, He leads us and guides us, Father God. And today we pray, bring us into that spacious place, Lord. Lord, where there is no imprisonment, where there is no limits, where there is no holding back. But Lord, you will bring us into a place where we would be assured, Father God, that you are with us, that you are driving out those that stand before us. Father God, we thank you today that just like you spoke to Joshua, you are speaking to your church. Prepare yourselves, for you are going to do wonders in our midst. Father God, let us not be blind to the leading of your Spirit, but speak to our lives today. Pop open our ears, open the eyes of our heart, and let us grab a hold and run and ride the wave that you are bringing to our nation. We thank you today, and we give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You can take your seats this morning. You know, my wife and our family, my wife and my two children, we have something that I guess you could say is becoming a kind of family tradition. Amen. This year, actually, we're celebrating 10 years of marriage. Amen. So God is good. God is good. And I think finally we're starting to get to grips with it. A little bit. But you know what? We've got something you could probably call a family tradition now, is that every year we aim to go down to a place called Devon, Cornwall, the south of England. And we go where the beaches are golden sands, not rocky stones, where the water's blue and not green, where the things in the water are people and not things that you can't quite work out what they are. We go to a place that it looks, you don't even feel like you're in the country. And we try to go down there every year with our family. We go camping. Amen. We spend time together, and kind of the way that I am, you know, you get that kind of male pride, that spirit. And so one thing that I try and do when I'm down there is I try to go surfing. Now, I call it surfing. No one else would call it surfing. I call it surfing. I've been about two or three times. What it really is lying on the surfboard and kind of just letting the wave take you a little bit. I've never stood on it, kind of bodyboarded a little bit. People would give it different definitions. But the thing is that I rode some waves in Devon. A couple of waves I did well on. I felt like, yeah, I can do this. I'm a surfer. I don't have a body, but I'm a surfer. I don't have a fitness, but I'm a surfer. But then fast forward. See, that was Devon. Fast forward to Redondo Beach in America. And I saw the waves and I was on the beach and then the pride kicked in. And I thought, hey, I can surf. I told a couple people around me, I've been surfing before. So I went into the water ready. And then as that wave came, I took one look at that wave and I thought, this ain't no Devon wave. This isn't no English wave. This is LA wave. And as the wave got closer, you have two choices. Either just brace yourself and get hit or run for your life. So I did what any man would do. I stood and that wave hit me. Legs in the air, drinking salt water like it was iron brew. No matter how many times I tell myself, don't open your mouth when you go under, you just start panicking. But you see, it wasn't that the wave was too big. It's just I wasn't prepared. It's just I wasn't ready for what I thought I was ready for. You see, it's not that the wave is too great. It's not that this wave is going to be too big for us. It's a matter of whether we have prepared ourselves right for what God wants to do. Whether we have prepared our hearts, prepared our minds, fixed ourselves, and believe exactly what it is that Joshua said, that Lord, that God is going to do wonders among us tomorrow. Now, there might be some of us that say, well, God doesn't promise tomorrow. You always have someone that wants to pipe up with a scripture. But what God's really saying right there is that the move of God is imminent. The move of God is upon us. So prepare yourself. Get ready. Joshua went through the camp. He didn't leave out any tribe. He didn't leave out any clan. The promise was to all people that God is ready to move. But the question he said was, prepare yourself now, because it's ready to happen. The move of God is ready to come. You see, there's certain things that are inevitable, but it's a matter of what we believe is inevitable. Some of us have accepted inevitable things that God had never planned for us. Sometimes we accept the inevitable, my family will never get saved. Sometimes we accept the inevitable, that I'll never be the person that I want to be. But my friend, there's an inevitability with God. That word inevitable means bound to happen. God is bound to his word, that when he has spoken it, he will perform it. He will fulfill it. And there is an inevitability, Victory Outreach Manchester, children of God, that God is going to move. God is going to pour out his spirit. The question isn't, will he do it? The question isn't even really, when will he do it? The question is, are you ready for it? God has got something to say to this generation. You see, this scripture teaches us two things. Yes, God is going to move. Yes, we need to be prepared. But when you bring those two things together, what God is saying to us is that your preparation today is a reflection of your expectation of tomorrow. What you expect to happen in your life tomorrow, imminently, right before you, will determine how you live your life today. What you expect God to do in your tomorrow will determine how you speak to your brothers and sisters today. How you pray today. Whether you fast today. They have a saying, mañana, mañana. Tomorrow, tomorrow. My friend, God's move is imminent and he wants you to be a part of it. The old saying says, fail to prepare, then prepare to fail. The sad thing about our generation today, and even many Christians, is that some people do live to fail or prepare to fail because it's all they've ever experienced. It's all they've ever geared themselves up for. And so you actually do come across some people that have accepted failure, that have accepted that tomorrow is not going to be what they want it to be. But you see, we've been hearing about this move of God, this wave, for many months now. And sometimes I ask myself, how long do we talk about it before we see it? But in Joshua chapter 3 verse 1 it says this. As they came to their promised land, it says, the morning, and they set out from Asaseah Grove and came to the Jordan. which was their promised place, where we're going to cross into their promised land. It says they came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and they lodged there before they crossed. And it's a very simple scripture, one you can pass over very quickly. But when it says that they lodged there before they crossed, they had never been closer to their promise. They had never been closer to their breakthrough. They had never been closer to laying a hold of the promises of God for their life. And it says they lodged there. And I began to think, why not cross straight away? Why not cross as soon as you arrive at that promise, as soon as you see it in front of you? Why not go straight into it? Why wait? And I began to realize it's because God wants everyone to have a choice. God wants everyone to be prepared. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God always gives you a choice. God always gives you the time and the ability and the capacity to choose what it is that you want today. That's why I believe that many times they lodged, because Joshua then went to them and said, prepare yourself because the miracle is about to happen. Prepare yourself because the wave is about to come. Prepare yourself because your family is going to get saved. Prepare yourself because the opportunity is going to come. Prepare yourself because I'm going to raise you up. Prepare yourself because I'm going to put my word upon your lips. Prepare yourself. So they lodged there and camped there, not because God was slow, but because he wanted his people to make a choice. Do you want to count the cost and walk the walk? Or do you want to be a spectator? God always gives us a choice. You see, it doesn't bring God any glory to live with low expectations. It doesn't give God any glory to live with low expectations. If I could title this message halfway through it, it would be Great Expectations. Great expectation. God wants us to have great expectations. What you expect from him, what you expect from your own life, what you expect from the people around you, God wants us to have great expectations. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." I love that. We have the mind of Christ. We are able to see what God sees. We are able to pray in the will of God. We are able to see God move in new and fresh ways. We have the mind of Christ, which means that our mind is renewed. You notice that in that scripture, Romans 12, he doesn't say, "I will renew your mind for you." He says, "You renew your mind daily." You have to make a decision and a choice to get up and declare God's word over your life. Declare that your tomorrow is full of miracles and salvation and deliverance. You have to renew your mind. There's some things God won't do for you, but he'll give you the authority to declare it, and you can do it. You see, even the word of God declares, I believe in Romans, it says, "Do not be too wise in your own opinion." Ouch! Do not be too wise in your own opinion. You see, you have to take things in context. You have to get balance in things. He's not saying don't have an opinion. He's not saying you're never allowed to share your opinion. He's saying don't be too wise in it that you're not teachable, that you're not moldable, that you're not shapeable. Don't be so wise in your opinion that you think you've got God all figured out. The last time I checked, we can't even figure ourselves out. We can't even figure our marriages out half the time. But yet we want to think we've got God all figured out. God might just take you a route you weren't expecting. God might just bring you to a church that you didn't think you'd be a part of. God might just plant you somewhere that you thought I wasn't going to be a part of that soil. But all of a sudden you see God shaping and changing your life. And you say, all I care about is that I will be the man or the woman that God has called me to be. Don't be so wise in your own opinion that you think you can't learn from the people around you. But great expectations doesn't mean unrealistic expectations. I use an example of marriage since it's Valentine's Day. I keep it holy. Sometimes when you enter into marriage, there's a moment you find out as a married person that it's not your spouse's job to make you happy. It's not your husband or wife's job to make you happy. And sometimes we go into marriage and we say, I'm not happy because my husband this or my wife that or my leader this or my church that. It's no one else's job to make you happy. It's your relationship with God. It's your relationship with your Savior. I didn't save my wife. She'd probably tell you the opposite. I didn't save my wife. She was a woman of God before I met her. God had already prepared her. But you see, it's not my job to make my wife happy, and it's not my wife's job to make me happy. I realized a long time ago that you can be lonelier as a married person than you ever could as a single person. You have to get your contentment from God. You have your relationship with God has to drive you. Your relationship with God has to set your expectations. Your relationship with God has to shape you and mold you. Your relationship with God is where you derive your contentment from. If you look from it to the left, or you look to the right, or you look anywhere other than God, you will be left dissatisfied. It's only God. And there was a man in the Bible who had low expectations. And it's found in the book of Acts chapter 3. I want to spend just a couple of moments speaking about this man. In Acts chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, it says this. Now Peter and John went up together to a temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. This was a man lame from birth. It doesn't say how many years he'd been there, but he was lame from birth. It's all he knew. It's all he had experienced. And he went every day begging for people to give him change, for people to give him a little something that would get him through that day. Now, the reality is this. We don't know if he always had that expectation. We don't know if life just kind of brought him to that place. We don't know if his situation brought him to that place where he lowered his expectations. But yet he could be so close to the place of prayer, so close to the presence of God, so close to the people of God, so close to what it is that God was doing, and yet still have a dependency on people. He would ask people as they went by to give him change. The first thing we see is that he believed that because he'd always been that way, that he would always be that way. Because he'd always lived that life, he was destined to continue to live that life. My friend, the devil is a liar. If you are sitting in here today, if you have a mustard seed in your hand of faith, then just because it has been that way does not mean it is going to be that way. Just because you have struggled with depression does not mean you will continue in that struggle. The spacious place is a place that declares that the enemies that stood by your side, the enemies you used to share your land with, will be driven out, will be taken out, which makes you free to build, free to grow, free to pray, free to inherit, free to be the person that God has called you to be. I declare today, just because it has been that way does not mean it will continue that way. We're coming to a spacious place. Secondly, look at where he was sitting, right at the doors of a place where God's presence was, right at the doors of where God was, and yet still he looked to man to take away his issues. Still, he depended on man to solve his problems. Still, he depended on people to keep him going. But yet right there, the presence of God was near him. And I don't know if it was men and women that wanted to pray for him and walk past him. I don't know if it was men and women that God told to pray for him and they didn't, but one thing I know is that we see this man sitting there so close to God and yet still looking to people to keep him going. And the third thing, look at what he was asking for. He was asking for someone else's change when what he really needed to do was change himself. Isn't it crazy? This will change your life when you catch it. Isn't it crazy how you can be in the presence of God, how you can be a child of God, and yet still think that someone else's change will keep you going when God really wants to change you? So let it settle. The fact and the reality is that many times we're walking and we say, if only my brother would change, then I would get my breakthrough. If only I could get a hold, my sister would change, then I would get a breakthrough. My friend, sometimes as a church and as a people, it's not someone else's change you need, it's your own change. And if you change and God touches you, then whether your brother or sister changes or not, it's not the defining influence. It's not the defining factor, because God has touched your life and he's changed you. But sometimes we're sitting and we're waiting for something to change around us. Well, if only my husband would change. If only my wife. If only this or if only that. It's not the external change we need. It's the internal. It's not our brother or sister's change we're crying out for. It's your change and my change. Revival doesn't start to your left and it doesn't start to your right. It starts in you when you lay a hold of God. We don't need, oh, come on, our brother or sister, if only they did this. And if only, how many people have ever done that? Come on now, if only my leaders would change. If only my church would change. If only my spouse. But God says, you're looking for someone else's change. I'm looking for yours. All we've got to do is let God get our attention. There's websites dedicated to telling ministries they need to change, telling people they need to change. There's websites dedicated and people go around just trying to say, well, this church needs to change this. This brother needs to change that. There's marriages dedicated for waiting for the other person to change, when what God really says, your breakthrough is in your change. Your breakthrough is in you laying a hold of God. Romans 4 verse 20 to 22 says this about Abraham. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Let me say that again. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. You're going to come across some people in your life that want to help you. You're going to come across some people that are willing to help you. But the question you have to ask yourself is not, do they want to help me? It's not, are they willing to help me? The question is, are they able to help me? Some people have good intentions. Some people have a good heart. They look to try and help. But God is the only one that is both willing and able. Both willing and has the authority. He doesn't just want to change you. He's able to change you. He doesn't just want to save your family. He's able to save your family. It's not just a matter of him being willing to. He is able to. How many people thank God for a God that is able to perform his words? Great expectations. You see, the spacious place is a place where the enemy is under our feet, where the land is possessed, where cities are inhabited. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1, it says this, "Then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song. On the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul." So David declared a song. He declared, I'm not going to read the whole song. I'm not going to sing it, that's for sure. But in verse 17 of this declaration that God made, he said, "He sent from above. He took me and he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into a spacious place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The spacious place is a place where God has delivered you out of what it was that was trying to hold you back and has given you a land where you're free to be all that God has called you to be. We're coming into a spacious place. It's a place where you begin to walk in areas you've never walked in before. Where you experience God's provision in a way you've never experienced it before. Where there's a boldness on your life that you didn't know was there before. You see, to enter this place, it takes a paradigm shift. It takes a mentality change. Because what brought you out of Egypt won't necessarily get you into your promise. What brought you out of your place that you used to be won't necessarily get you into the place that God has set before you. You see, when you read this journey through the promised land, you read about David making that declaration that God had put his enemies down. He put his enemies under his feet. And after David came his son Solomon. And when Solomon began to build the house of God, he built the temple. He makes a declaration. And Solomon made a declaration that we are building this temple because there's no longer war on every side. He said, we're building this temple because no longer are our enemies invading us every day. You see, when you get victory over your enemy, you become free to build what God has called you to build. When you get victory over those things that have plagued you, those things that have tried to stand before you, all of a sudden there's a freedom to build God's house, to reach God's people like never before. Some of us are about to come into a time of building, a time of outpouring of God's Spirit. Because the enemies that used to keep you on the edge of God's promise for your life are going to be driven out. The mentalities that used to cause you to settle for less are not going to be there no more. The attitudes that caused you to hold back, the temptation that caused you to be led astray, my friend, those enemies are about to be driven out. Look at what it says in Deuteronomy when Moses is talking to the people of Israel. And he says this in Deuteronomy 6 verses 10 and 11. He says, so it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is a part of love. Listen to this. To give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build. Houses full of all good things which you did not fill. Hewn out wells which you did not dig. Vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. There's a scripture in John even that says that we are called as a people. There's going to be certain areas of our life where we reap where we didn't sow. Where we inherit where we didn't plant. And my friend, we're about to walk in a place. We're about to live in a place where you might not have built gone before you. But God has called you to live in this place now. What's the saying we have? This is where. This is where. This is where we live now. God is bringing us into a city, into a place where you're going to experience things you've never experienced before. It's like when you move house. I've done it a few times in my life. But you know when you move house, when people move house, and we've had a couple of people in the past that have moved in with us as well, and you ask them, how much stuff do you have? Famous question. Yeah, I have, you know, two black bags, a box, and a little bedside cabinet. And that's about it. And then the big removal truck pulls up outside. And all of a sudden, one journey up the stairs, two journey up the stairs, three journey. You see, you've always got more than you think. And it's like you and I today. There's more in us than we realize. There is more that has been placed in your life than you could ever imagine. There is more that God has deposited in you, more authority, more faith, more capacity than you've ever had before. So don't just see yourself as just two black bags. Come on now, a little bedside cabinet and a box of books. God has given you a removal truck to be able to carry what it is that God has placed in your life. That there is no limits to what God has for you. And you're going to find that when you you don't really know what you've got until you move. You notice that? You don't really realize what you have until you move. Just like now with God, you don't always realize what you've got until you step into it. Until you step out of what you used to and step into something new. And some of us, we've got to start to step into something new. And then you're going to realize what God has placed in your life. Is anyone ready to prosper in an area you've never prospered before? Is anyone ready to walk in a place you've never walked before? There's certain things that some of us today have said, that land isn't for me, but that land God has given you. But listen, I'm not going to wake up tomorrow morning and be the worship leader of Victory Outreach Manchester. It's not about you can do anything. It's about you can do anything that God has called you to do. And that's the difference. Even when the people went into the promised land, they divided up the land and said, this is your inheritance. This is yours. This is yours. Don't move the boundary stones. Don't stray to your neighbor's place. In other words, know what God has called you to do and recognize that God has given you the authority to do it. You know, I stand up here today and I'm probably going to get told off for this afternoon by my wife. But I stand up here today and I am so proud of my wife. Let me tell you why. I'm so proud of her because over 20 years ago, she left school without one qualification, without a GCSE, without anything. And check this out. Next year, she's going to be graduating university. She is going to graduate university. This was a land that she never felt she would walk in. But God has not just placed her in that land. He has blessed her in that land. She is prospering in that land. You see, the certain lands that we have said, that isn't for me. I'm not a discipler. I'm not a giver. I'm not this and I'm not that. But God says, whatever land that I have given you, you will build in it. You will prosper in it. God is about to add some more arrows to your bow. He's about to tighten that grip on the sword because you are going to slay some enemies that you haven't slayed before. Don't say that this land is not for you. God is with you. He even tells us, listen, your enemy is bigger than you. That's a promise from God. Your enemy is bigger than you. But listen, I am with you. I have gone before you. But you won't know how big I am until you step into that land and be who God has called you to be. Some of us, God has called to be authors. Some of us, God has called to fast like we've never fasted, pray like we've never prayed. It's not just about saying, God, you've given me it, but it's about recognizing that your expectation defines your preparation. And when you expect God to move, you prepare yourself for a move of God. You pray like you've never prayed. You prepare yourself. Get around people that are skilled in that area. It's the one thing, and you'll hear our pastor say it, and it's the truth about this church, is that we have people from so many different walks of life, so many qualifications, so many backgrounds, that whatever God has called you to do, there is someone in this church that you can partner with and move forward. And what I want to look at before we finish is already mentioned, it's going to take a change of approach, a shift, a raising of expectations. What I want to look at briefly for the next 5 to 10 minutes maximum is the mentality that you have coming out of Egypt compared to the mentality you need to go into the promised land. You see, one mentality was good enough to get you off something, to get you out of something. But the other mentality, that mentality is not going to be good enough to get you into what God has for you. It takes a change. You see, there's three different mentalities very briefly I want to speak on. You see, the wilderness mentality, the old mentality, says, I'm just glad I'm not what I used to be. Many people say that, I'm just glad I'm not what I used to be. How many people thank God you're not what you used to be? Yes. Amen. We need to be thankful for that. We need to be grateful to God for that. But the spacious mentality doesn't just say, I'm just glad I'm not what I used to be. The spacious mentality says, I'm excited about what God is making me to be. God is making you into something. God is shaping you. You see, it's not just about not doing what you used to do, but it's about beginning to do something new, something fresh, walking in ways you never knew were possible. You see, the more you walk in the ways of God, the further away from the past you become, because you embrace what God has for you. You see, even in Luke 17, it says that Jesus cleansed 10 lepers, and then one returned to him and worshipped him. And Jesus said, hang on a sec, didn't I just heal 10 of you? And yet only one came back to me. You see, 9 of them were just grateful that they weren't a drug addict no more. 9 of them were just grateful that they weren't depressed no more. 9 of them were just grateful that they weren't miserable no more. But there was one that said, it's not about me not being what I used to be. It's about me being all that God has called me to be. walking in the authority and the power that God has placed over my life. It's not just about I'm not this anymore. It's about what God is going to make you. That's why we're releasing this book, the Treasures book, the Men's Testimonies. That we're going to release a book of men's testimonies that declare what God has done in men's life in this city and across our nation. And if you haven't written a testimony, come and see me after. Because God wants your testimony to be in that book. Because the world needs to know what God has done in your life and what He wants to do. The wilderness mentality says, I just build day by day. The spacious mentality says, I'm in this land for good. You see, Exodus 16, verse 4, the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. The children of Israel, God's children, were used to living day by day by day. But look what he says in Genesis 17, verse 8, when he's speaking to Abraham. He says, also I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. You see, a spacious mentality says that I am in this place for good. I am rooted, I am set, and I am going to build. I'm going to be all that God has called us to be. But too many times as Christians, we can live day to day, just trying to get past this day. Lord, if I just make it through to tomorrow. Lord, if I just make it through to the next stage. If I just get one little victory. But I believe that God has set us in this land because even the word of God says his eyes are upon this land. And he wants to bless it. He wants to rain down upon it. The wilderness mentality says, let me just get to the end of today. The spacious mentality says, how I live today will define my tomorrow. And lastly, sorry, I had to laugh at this one. The wilderness mentality says the pastor will do it. The spacious mentality says we all need to do it. Let me tell you why. Exodus 14, verse 21. Remember, this is what the children of Israel had seen. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. You see, the children of Israel stood and watched as Moses took his staff, lifted it, and the waters parted. But look at how God did it in Joshua. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant. In Joshua chapter 3, verse 11 to 13. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Now therefore, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that can come down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap. You see, coming out of the wilderness, Moses was able to do it by himself. But going into the promise, Joshua was right there. Joshua was speaking the word of the Lord. Joshua was commanding the people. Joshua was the leader of that nation. But it took priests from every tribe to walk into that Jordan River and be a part of a miracle that God was going to bring. You see, coming out of a wilderness, you just need one person. Just one testimony. Just one person praying. But if you want to be all God has called you to be, it's not just one person that's going to happen through. It takes a team. It takes a people that are willing to take personal responsibility for our city, for this vision that God has given us, for the nation that God has set before us. They still had their Joshua. We've got our Joshua. We've got our pastors, Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky. But listen, it takes people that are going to take personal responsibility for the vision that God has given us, for the mission that God has set before us. You see, those priests had to step into that water with Joshua. He wasn't on his own anymore. He wasn't standing by himself, but people rose up and said, I know that I have an inheritance in this. I know that God has promised this to me. So if he's promised it to me, I'm going to take weight and I'm going to carry it. And I'm going to be a part of what God wants to be. Before, you just used to witness the miracles. Now, you're a part of a miracle. God is raising you and I up to take weight and to walk how God has called us to walk. You see, every tribe could have just looked to each other and said, you do it. Oh, you do it. You've got stronger men than us. You've been around longer than us. You've got this, you've got that. But they didn't. Each one of them said that if I'm going to inherit the land, then I need to rise up and take weight. I need to be a part of what God has called us to do. And sometimes there's a lot of, that's not me in the church. That's not my portion. That's not what I'm about. But you see, this generation heard about how Moses led them out of a wilderness. And they knew that Joshua was going to lead them into the promised land. But they couldn't just sit back and watch. They had to make a stand and say, you know what? I want to be a part of this miracle. I want to be a part of what God's going to do. They were free to build, free to plant, free to be who God called them to be. But it took great expectations. It took a higher expectation of what God wanted to do and how he wanted to move in their life. You can stand with me this morning. God has got something for you today. God has got something for you today. I don't know necessarily what part of this message may have spoke to you. Maybe you've had a dependency on people. Maybe you've had low expectations of what God wants to do. But this spacious place is not just for one or two. This spacious place is not just for the few. But we are camped in front of this promise. And we are walking. And we are believing. And we are praying. And we are tasting. But God is giving us time to prepare ourselves for what it is that God wants to do. And as a worship team leaders, just for a couple of moments, I want us to lift our hands all across this place.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.